Hello, you're very welcome to OS from the BBC World Service. I'm Nuala McGovern with you for the next half hour, and it's good to have you with us. There are, you might have seen, a number of extreme weather events that we're going to explore in about 15 minutes' time on the programme. My colleague from BBC's Afghan Service is going to join us to discuss flash flooding in Afghanistan, reading that dozens have died. We also want to take a look at the damage caused by Hurricane Laura. That's in Louisiana in the States. It's actually been called one of the most powerful storms to ever hit the US, and I think they're just beginning to get an idea these hours about exactly the destruction that has been wrought. Right, now let me move back to coronavirus and the pandemic, because one of the things we have been doing all through the pandemic is bringing people together who share experiences to talk them through. And almost every country in the world has had some sort of coronavirus outbreak, but there are actually still a handful which are free of the disease, COVID-free. And we're going to spend some time in three of them, Pacific Island nations. And even though they are COVID-free, they're actually still feeling the economic effects and other effects too, as you're going to hear. Bill is an owner of a scuba diving resort in Micronesia. Ender has a small family business in the Solomon Islands. And Liz runs a boutique resort in Vanuatu.
Thanks to our government, with quick closure of borders, we've managed to keep COVID out of here. So we've got a lot of freedom. We don't have COVID, so we can move around freely. Unfortunately, though, we've had other disasters like cyclone and also an economic one. So although we don't have COVID, we have an economic crisis, and we've just overcome a state of emergency with our cyclone Harold that we had back in May now. But we live in a really beautiful, idyllic Pacific island. So we are so lucky. We've got beautiful, fresh air. We can still be with our community and our friends. And for that, we're very grateful.
Let me turn to you, Bill. Describe where you are for us.
Well, Liz just about said exactly the same thing that I would be saying. Our government shut down flights the 1st of February, so we are completely COVID-free, and we're able to move around freely on the island. But it's come at a very high price economically. In my case, there's 85 employees that are laid off. We've been closed since mid-February. And there's just the big problem for us, really, is uncertainty. When is this going to end? When will we might offer flights again? And it's going to take a long time to get the tourism industry back, that's for sure.
Yes. What is Micronesia like?
Well, it's very tropical. It's beautiful. It's the palm trees, the turquoise lagoon, the blue Pacific Ocean just outside the reef. There's a wonderful culture here. They still use stone money. We have stone paths. The local dancing is very colorful, and it's a very idyllic place, but it's very, very small. It's 39 square miles total.
Ah, that really gives us an idea, actually. Ender, how's it been for you?
In Vanuatu, we closed the borders around March. We had two lockdowns just to help the people to, you know, have a feel of what it's going to be like in the event of we having COVID. People will understand what it is like to have an actual lockdown.
And for how long was that?
So the first one was actually 24 hours. And the second one, it's like two nights and, 2 days. We are COVID-free now, but our neighbor, Papua New Guinea, which is like a few hours away, they have COVID. And then there's one from Bougainville. Bougainville is just 15 minutes away from our furthest island. They have one confirmed case. So the mock lockdown, it's really helpful for the people to understand what it's really like. And the cases are coming closer. But we still do not have COVID, and the economic crisis now, it's has a huge impact on us.
Tell me about the impact on you and your business.
We are four of us. It's a small family business, and that's our livelihood. It's our whole life. It's our small business. So it pays our bills. It sends the kids to school, because I have two daughters. Both of them are in high school. So almost 3 months they've been staying back at home. They don't go to school because we don't have a single penny.
You weren't able to send your kids to school because of a lack of money?
Exactly.
That's tough.
It's very tough.
And is it the case that they will not be able to go back until you begin earning money again?
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, that's pretty fascinating because we've had so many kids at home from school, but because of COVID, yours are at home because of COVID, but not because of the virus being there, but because of the economic crisis. Bill, do you have any questions for Liz or Ender?
Other than me being in a very, very small island, they're in much bigger places and freer to move around. But I think our situations are extremely similar. We are lucky, much more lucky than they probably are, because Micronesia is affiliated with the United States. And so there is some money that is coming in from the United States. And our employees are eligible to get a weekly stipend. This has just happened, though. They went from mid-February until about mid-July with no money at all. But luckily, Yap is still fishing and farming, and we're free to move around. And so no one is really in dire straits. But the lockdown, the school situation here, it's not for lack of money, but there's the teachers. Several of the schools are closed this year because teachers cannot come in. Teachers that went home on vacation or teachers that went to visit relatives and have gotten stranded outside.
And I think I'm hearing a little bit of rain in the background. That's not mine, is it? Is it rain on my side?
I'm sitting under a tin roof. It's raining.
I guess it's just evening there at the moment and a little bit of rain is coming down. It's still warm?
Yes. Oh, it's always warm here. We're just north of the equator.
So I hear you, Bill, loud and clear. We're facing similar issues. Our government luckily provided some policy stimulus to employment stabilization. So we had that up until July, but that has now ceased. We are facing the exact same issues as Ender. People are finding it hard with less money or reduced hours of employment to be able to get transport to go to school or to be able to pay fees. Our government has provided an amount per child for the year, but it doesn't cover all of the fees. So we're facing economic hardship in so many areas, but we're not facing food shortage. So I hear you, Bill. You've got the fishing and all of that. We've got food rotting in our markets because there's excess food and we don't have the tourists to buy it or the hotels to buy it.
Yeah.
Different issues here. We can't get our medical corridors. We can't get our educational and professional people in and out of the country. So the same issues as you and Yap. And for me, a solution for every sector, every economic sector, would be to have a safe sort of corridor with essential air services, which would be, there's a seasonal worker program that's being piloted. I don't know if, Ender, if you have that in Solomon Islands, but that's a trade we would deem essential because that remits money back and helps us.
What healthcare do you have at the moment? Why would you need a medical corridor?
We're in the process of moving from a least developing country to a developing country, which I believe mm-hmm. is happening in December as a country. We are still not as developed with our health services, so they're very basic. For example, if we have to have some blood tests, we'll need to be flown out of the country to be tested in nearby Noumea, New Caledonia or Australia. And so some of these services are no longer available. We can't do any complicated surgery. We can't do open heart. So if somebody's got a pacemaker that needs a new battery, they need to be able to get to Australia or New Zealand or, to be able to have that changed. Our borders, both land and sea, are closed for anyone coming in, but they're not closed for going out.
Huh. So if you leave for the pacemaker or whatever it might be, you probably won't get home.
Correct.
God, that's a really big issue, I can imagine. Ender, what about you when you hear Liz and Bill talk about the hardships that people are going through?
I think something I picked up from Liz is the government support, or we call it economic stimulus package. So for us, they've gave out a call in June for tourism operators to apply. So the deadline was June 6th. And now today, now I'm still talking, we're still waiting for government support from the stimulus package.
So how do you manage? How do you manage day to day?
A friend in Australia, she has a project in the Solomons. She couldn't come back. So I'm supporting her on the ground. So she helped me out with some cash. So that's how we survive.
So it's really relying on your community, it sounds like. Bill, is that some of the case where you are too?
100%. It's all family driven and community driven. And those that have have more or sharing with people. And money, there's not much of a money economy, but there is food. And so we're coping. And you're talking about, would you open up the borders? That, I mean, it's, as a tourism operator, one hand you kind of say, oh yeah, please, let's do something. But in our case, Guam is our hub, and Guam has COVID quite a bit, and Guam has just gone into lockdown. So we have really no options for a travel bubble. Our hospital is very rudimentary, and blood work has to be sent to Hawaii. And we have, luckily, we have one flight a week for mail and cargo. So it's not a disaster. It's not great, but if you did go off, if you have something and you really have to go somewhere to get treated, you're not coming home.
You mentioned there as well that they have stone money in Yap. Can you describe that for us?
Yes. We're called the Island of Stone Money. It's in ancient times, this money was quarried on the island of Palau. It was brought back in sailing canoes, and it's still used as money. You can buy land with it. You can settle disputes with it. It's quite fascinating.
Liz, let me turn to you. I mean, how is it affecting people? We've spoken at length on this program about the financial hardships, and you were telling us there as well for your employees. But what about psychologically?
Psychologically, it's really testing. It's something new. Vanuatu, we have 106 languages across 86 islands, and there is no word in any of these 106 languages for depression or anxiety. With the worry and uncertainty, although we're a very resilient people, we're starting to think no one's buying our food. We've got enough food, and we're sort of very happy if you're in the village, but you still need to pay for education. Although we live, you know, the majority of our population lives a subsistence farming life, we still need money. And so what's creeping into to the thought process now is overthinking and worry. And although as a Melanesian society, we're very closely connected with immediate family, extended family, if we don't take use of that community, we're seeing people starting to not eat from worry, wondering, you know, I've lost my job. And that affects people's morale and financially. And all of these pressures have come to the surface. So I describe it like a boil. Mm. All the yucky stuff is sort of coming out to the surface now. It's nowhere else for it to hide. But our hospital has got a mind care clinic, and what our population has thought has never really sort of been an illness or something that we've never had to deal with these things. No words for it in language. We're now suddenly having to deal with, and there's a lot of fear because we don't see it firsthand. We hear it on the news. Not many people have digital smartphones or electricity even at home, so it's not the same. We're not sitting in a house watching TV for the majority of people in Vanuatu, but we're hearing about the deaths in Italy, US, all around us, and it's frightening.
Ender, what about in the Solomon Islands?
Sitting here, you don't know what to do because everything's happening and the people's worried. The uncertainty causes affect the mental illness of us, especially with having, you know, to deal with our education and how do we survive. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So it's very hard, especially dealing with uncertainties. When the government announced early in March that we are closing our borders, some of our honorable members sent the people to go back to their constituencies because we have scattered islands. And one boat went home, went back to the village, and 27 people died because of panic. They met rough seas, and it's part of the COVID repatriation program that our government was doing during the beginning of the lockdown. So 27 people died. They only found recovered six bodies. So yeah, it's very hard.
That's Ender speaking to us from the Solomon Islands. We also heard from Liz, who's in Vanuatu, and Bill, who's the owner of a scuba diving resort in Micronesia. Thanks so much to all of them. Real food for thought, actually. No COVID there, but still suffering so many of the same problems.